You're listening to SBS News.
With the state funeral of Queen Elizabeth II now over in London, attention is turning to another significant gathering of world leaders, the 77th General Assembly of the United Nations. Foreign Minister Senator Penny Wong is leading Australia's delegation and by all accounts is planning to put Australia's commitment to climate change centre stage. It's also the focus of Labor's domestic agenda. The Minister for Emergency Management, Senator Murray Watt, is hosting delegates at the Asia-Pacific Ministerial Conference on Disaster Risk Reduction in Brisbane. And as the conference gets underway, the Senator has announced $50 million in new funding for disaster relief and preparedness in the Pacific region. He's also named Brendan Moon as Australia's new National Coordinator General for Disaster Management. Mr. Moon says the region needs to prepare for the impacts of climate change.
We will continue to get ready as a community, as governments across the land, and also as we build strong partnerships with private sector and the community so that we can deal with anything that this weather season passes on to us.
Trade Minister Senator Don Farrell has also been getting on board with the government's environment agenda. The Senator has met a delegation from the European Union in Canberra to negotiate the terms of a free trade deal, saying he wants Australia to become a global player on the sale of renewable energy.
We want a long and lasting relationship with the people of Europe. As I said, we're very keen to progress discussions and negotiations.
Talks on the EU trade deal had stalled under the previous coalition government, but with Australia's renewed commitment to reducing emissions, things look to be back on track. Chair of the EU Parliament's Committee on International Trade, Bernd Langer, says he wants the trade deal wrapped up by the end of the EU's current parliamentary term in 2024.
So we want to see that the agreement could be concluded in spring next year so that we have enough time for the legal scrubbing, for the translation and for our work in the Parliament for the ratification.
Things are also moving forward on a trade deal with the United Kingdom. Now the UK has left the EU, Australia has had to negotiate a separate trade agreement with them. Elizabeth Bowes from the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade has told a parliamentary inquiry the UK trade deal would offer substantially increased opportunities for Australian exporters, especially those in agriculture, because 99% of goods going into the UK would be duty-free. She also says consumers would be big winners under the deal if it's ratified by Parliament.
That means inputs for business will enter Australia duty-free, be it machinery, car parts, cars, electric vehicles, also alcohol in both directions. But also it means that Australian consumers will have greater choice. So, for example, if you go to a supermarket, there are British processed foods. Increasingly, that choice will increase with duty-free entry of those products.
But the more immediate worry, apart from food, is the cost of petrol. The end of the fuel excise is coming next week, and Treasurer Jim Chalmers has sought to reassure voters that already high petrol prices will not jump up.
We've been working closely with the servos and suppliers to understand that there are hundreds of millions of litres of fuel underground in tanks that was purchased at the lower price. And so the ACCC and the government expect that the price of petrol shouldn't shoot up at the Bowser on Wednesday night by the full 23 cents if the normal market pressures are in operation.
The transport industry has also been promised it won't be worse off when things return to normal. Infrastructure Minister Catherine King has reportedly promised the Transport Workers Union the previous fuel tax credit will now be coming back, allowing truck drivers to claim 18 cents a litre back on fuel. The union's National Secretary Michael Caine says the decision is an enormous relief. The Treasurer is hoping more relief will come from a plan by the United States, already endorsed by the G7 alliance, to cap the price on Russian oil imports. Dr. Chalmers says this may help limit Russia's ability to raise money for its war in Ukraine and in so doing help reduce the cost of living in Australia, given part of the reason for skyrocketing inflation is the price of oil.
We need to be realistic about it, but our view is anything that has the potential to deal with our concerns around the global oil price, then we should explore and be into. Nobody's under any illusions about the uncertainty around the Russian response, for example, or the implementation issues between now and the beginning of December when it's slated to come into effect. The Americans, G7 partners and others are doing a heap of work to try and make this as effective as possible, and we want to be part of that.
But relief is not what the government appears to be offering in its October budget. Previewing the October budget papers, Finance Minister Katie Gallagher says the budget recorded a $50 billion turnaround, but that lift is being driven by temporary factors. She says the coalition government left some things off the books.
They largely across the pandemic-related costs, so some of the money that Minister Butler announced yesterday, the $1.4 billion largely for aged care support and keeping respiratory clinics going and that type of thing, other payments related to the pandemic, and also the $2 billion, with these numbers to be finalised, of course, for flood-related costs as well. So that's just giving you a sense of some of the magnitude of some of the immediate pressures that we're dealing with.
Dr. Chalmers says that means October's budget announcement won't make everyone happy.
The October budget will be a pretty standard bread and butter budget because that's what it needs to be to find room for all of these pressures that Katie and I are outlining today.
Deborah Grawk, SBS News.